Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Mem Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Hey. We have a quote from the Mishnah, Mosroi L'shomer Chinam L'shoyel. If someone gave an animal to a watchman, and we saw four different kinds, so the watchman's responsibilities are like those of the original owner. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source that reflects the idea that we just quoted from the Mishnah. The topic heading that you see on the side reflects this. Under the Nosei, in our margin, we've written, Dalet Shomrim, the four watchmen, Nichnosim Tachas HaBailam, they take over responsibility-wise, what the owner would have to bear. Tanu Rabbanan. We're in the Gemara text. Arba Nichnasu Tachas Abaylim. Four take over where the owner had been. V'elu Hain. And they are as follows. Shomer Chinam, the individual who watches Chinam for nothing, for gratis. Vashoyel, someone who borrows an item. In this case, he borrows the animal. Noisei Socher, a paid watchman. Vahasocher, and one who rents it. Hargu, if these animals kill a person. Tamin, if the animal is tam, it's a docile animal. Then, Neherogin, uftur min ha-kofer. The animal is put to death, as the Torah demands. However, there is no kofer payment, the payment that one makes when an animal kills a person, kills a Jew. Mu'adim, if they killed while mu'ad, they have already shown their proclivity for killing. So neherogin, the animal is put to death, just like we saw by the tam. And in this case, though, umishalman es ha-kofer, the kofer payment is made. The kofer payment is the payment, as we indicated, when a Jew is killed. The payment reflects the individual's, the victim's, it's a market value payment. V'chayovin l'hachsir d'mei shor l'baylov. The shomrim, being that the animal is killed, so the shomrim, the person who is guarding the animal, what is he going to return to the original owner? So the source tells us they have to return the value of the animal to the owner. They bear that responsibility. Chutz mishomer chinam, with the exception of someone who was watching for free, a shomer chinam is not obligated to guarantee to take responsibility for the value of the animal unless he acted in a negligent fashion. That not being the case here, so he does not have to make that restitution. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a marking, a house shape. On the side, we have a mivneh in our margin. The mivneh is the structural note, and the house shape in this case highlights she'elos birur, questions to clarify, kidei lahavin es hachilukim b'makor, to understand the distinctions that were made in the source we just read. Number one, Ezo Ramah Shel Shmira Hoysa, what level of watching was there? And there are different levels of guarding. That particular issue is featured in the Mishnah on Omid Beis. There are different opinions as to what level of Shmira is necessary and for what kind of animal. You have a shor that's tam, a shor that's muad. And Lefi Ezer Shitas Tanoim Katoni. And we also want to know the source is in accordance with which Tanaic opinion. There's no name in the source we just read. So now the Gemara. Amri, Heichi Domi. E denatre, if the animal was properly watched, afilu kulu nami lifteru, then all of the shomrim, not just the shomer chinam, but all of the shomrim should be exempt from the demay shor, from the value of the animal. Why do they need to make restitution? When he says kulu, Rashi points out, with the exception of the shoel, the one who borrows, something is chayev, is obligated, even in ones circumstances, even under if a loss happens beyond his control. That's a unique aspect of a shoel. But as far as the others, the socher and the nosei sochar, they should also be exempt if the animal was being watched. If the animal was not being watched, that's quite reckless, then afilu shomer chinam nechayev, even the unpaid watchman should bear responsibility. That's, as we said, it's recklessness, that's pshia, that's negligence, and he does bear responsibility for that. Why does the source give him an exemption? Amri, the Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, this source is featuring the following, the natre shmira p'husavalo, natre shmira m'ula. The animal was watched with a basic level or minimum level of watching, but it was under guard. Rashi says, what's is shmira p'husa? Delas shi'chil amod b'ruach mitzia. It was put behind a door, was closed behind the door, that is capable of standing under a normal wind. A normal wind would not blow it down. V'lo natre shmira ma'ula, it was not subject, though, to the higher, to a higher form of watching. We should point out that the Mishnah, as we did earlier, we mentioned this just in passing, that the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis, means Omid Beis of our Daf, describes that situation of Shmir Pusa, where the Mishnah opens up and says, Koshroi b'ilav b'mosera v'noal b'fonov karoi. The animal was tied up by its ropes or its reins, or it was locked behind a door that could stand under a normal wind. And and that's called Shmira Pusa. In the Mishnah, it's worth pointing out on Omid Beis what does that accomplish if you provide Shmira Pusa? So there are four opinions on that, on Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis, on our Omid Beis. Rabbi Meir says that Shmir Pusa is not sufficient, whether it's a Tam or a Muad. Rabbi Huda says Shmir Pusa is not sufficient for a Tam, but it is sufficient for a Muad. Now that might sound a little paradoxical, but there's a reason for that. There's a Gzeres HaKosuv that governs Rabbi Huda's Shita, a scriptural reading that governs that shita. Rebbe Lozer says, no matter what kind of shmira you provide, it is not enough for a shor hamuad. And then there's another shita that's brought in the Gemara, that's Rebbe Lozer ben Yankiv, that shmir pusa is sufficient even for a shor hamuad, not only for a shor tam. So there are four opinions on that. We continue in our Gemara. So we have said that this Tanaic source featured Shmira Pusa was provided and not Shmira Meula. As a result, the Gemara goes on, Shomer Chinam Kolso Lo Shmira. So as far as the Shomer Chinam is concerned, he's an unpaid watchman. He's behaved in it with full responsibility as far as he is concerned. Rashi says on the last narrow line, Kosel Le Shmiroso, the Eino Lov La Hischazik Bishmiroso. He doesn't have to increase his watching intensity. V'dai Bekach, this is enough. Alaf Shiohi, and he has not demonstrated negligence. Hilkuch Legabi Bailim Potter Midmei Shor. Therefore, as far as his obligation toward the owner, he is exempt from covering the value of the animal. the animal that has now been executed, Dehosagi Le Bishmipusa, he provided that which is necessary, the minimum amount of watching. Uboi Kapora, that's a reference to the payment of the kofar, that is necessary, because a person was killed. We continue in the Gemara. Hanoch, the other Shomrim, the Shemer Socher, the Socher, the Shoel, Lo Kolso Shmirosan. They did not complete their watching obligation by providing merely Shmira Pusa. And therefore, they have to pay the Demei Shor, the value of the animal. There is a very interesting Rashi. It just occurred to me now as we're giving this shir. Rashi says, "Vahani lo kolsa shmirason," three lines from the bottom. "Shechayovin hoyu lischazik b'shmirosoi," they should have increased their intensity of watching. "She shomor lebaylov," that it should be watched for the owner. "Upshia he." Now this expression "upshia he" is a relative term. It's pshia is considered negligence with regard to these higher level shomrim. It's not pshia as far as the shomer chinam is concerned. So that don't be confused by the fact that Rashi uses the word pshia over here. It is relative to these higher level shomrim. And Rashi points out it's pshia midi dahave agneva veda, similar to their obligation for theft or loss, which the shomer chinam does not have to bear. Let's go back to our Gemara. We've now established that the Tanaic source, shmira level wise, was shmira pusa, the minimum level of watching was provided. And with that, we're able to see the distinction between the shomer chinam, who is exempt from the demei shor, and the others that are obligated. Amri keman, the author of the source, is in accordance with whom? E k'Rebbe Meir, if you are to assume it is like Rebbe Meir, who says in the Mishnah on Omid Beis that for the Muad, Shmira Pusa is not enough, and that's why the Kofar also has to be paid. The Omar, if the Rebbe Meir says, if our source is in accordance with Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir happens to classify, did I mention that we're at the top line of Omid Beis? Rebbe Meir in Bova Metzia classifies a Shomer Chinam together with a Socher. In other words, a Socher is like a Shomer Chinam in their levels of responsibility. So that if this Tanaic source, which mentions that for the Muad, the Shmira Pusa is not enough, Lisni Chutz Mishomer Chinam VeHasocher, then the source should have said that there is exemption for the Demei Shor, for the value of the Shor, not only in the case of the Shomer Chinam, but in the case of the Socher also. But the source doesn't say that. The source says only Chutz Mishomer Chinam. Ve'i k'Rebbe Yehuda, the Omar, and if our source is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, that says Socher k'Nose Socher Domi, that in fact classifies the Socher along with the Shomer Socher, Nisni, the source should have said, and we should point out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shmira Pusa is not enough for a Tam. though it is enough for a muad. The source should have said as follows: Chutz mishomer chinam. The shomer chinam, in fact, is exempt from the demei shor. The kulon b'muadim p'turin linyan kofer, and all of the shomrim, since shmira p'chusa was provided, in the case of muad, and shmira p'chusa is sufficient for the muad, there should be exemption for the kofer payment. Yet the source doesn't say that. We should look at Rashi on the second line from the top. V'ikra b'yuda, hecha d'shamra shmira p'chusa, mai m'shamen kofer. If the brisa that we read on Omid Aleph is in accordance with b'yuda, and shmira p'chusa was provided, why is the kofer payment made? Homer b'yuda muad sagile b'shmira p'chusa. B'yuda says that shmira p'chusa is enough for a muad. So they did what they're supposed to do. Why should they have to pay kofer? Omar Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Ha mani. Notice the diamond. The diamond is explained under our Mivneh heading on the side. Shtei tshuvos l'sheilo kfimi ma'amidim ha'braisa d'dalet shomim. There were two approaches in how to set up the braisa that we saw on Omar Aleph. So Rav Huna Bar Chinina tells us, ha mani, Rebbe Eliezer hi. The source is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar Domer, Ein lo shmira ela sakin. The muad has no sufficient level of watching to exempt the shomer from paying kofar. The only thing you can do with a muad, is, as Rabbi Elazar says, is sakin, would mean slaughter it. Sakin literally is a knife. It has no watching other than under the knife. Uleinyan socher, regarding how to classify a socher, sovar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Lezer holds like Rabbi Yehuda in Maseches Bava Metzia, diomar socher kenose socher domi. The socher is classified like the socher, and therefore regarding the obligation to the owner, does he have to return the value of the animal, being that the animal is going to be executed? The only one who is exempt is the shomer chinam, not the socher, because the socher is like the nosei socher. There is a lot of detail in what we just read, and only by learning Rashi will reveal the entire story. So let's look at Rashi together, four lines from the top. Rabbi Lezer hi diomer b'masnisin, the brisa that we read is in accordance with Rabbi Lezer in the upcoming Mishnah that says ein lo shmir lemuad ela sakin. The muad has no sufficient level of watching. V'afilu shmir meula, even high level shmira is not enough. High level guarding is not enough. V'kol shekein high, and all the more so in the source that we read, the shmir p'husa natre, where the minimum level of shmira alone was provided, and because of that, kofar is paid. And as far as restitution for the value of the animal, these shomrim must provide that to the owner. The alehen l'shomro shmira meula. It's upon them to provide high level watching, hail v'noisei sochar hain, since they are getting paid. And the socher is like the shomer sochar, and the shoel is getting total benefit, so it's maximum reward for him as far as fee is concerned. He's getting the benefit of the use of the animal. So the source, as we set it up, the kofar payment must be made because kofar is paid for a muad, and no level of watching is sufficient for a muad vis-a-vis the issue of kofar. The restitution for the demeasure to the owner of the animal. I don't think it's, we point it out, but it's quite obvious when we speak about kofar. Kofar is a payment made to the family of the victim who was killed. The value of the animal is a payment made to the owner that had entrusted his animal in these different shomrim's possession. So the demeasure, that has to be paid by these watchmen because they did not provide the high level of watching that is required. With the exception being the Shomer Chinam that doesn't have to provide that. Rashi goes on with some interesting detail. Ubedinatre Shmira Mu'ula Lo Motzi Moikim Law. To set up the source that the Shmir Mu'ula was provided, that we cannot do. We can't set it up, explain it in that form, that high level of Shmira of watching was provided. Afilu l'Rebbe Lozer, even according to Rebbe Lozer, the Afal Gavdilin Koifer Chayovin, the Lo Sagi Le B'Shmir Mu'ula, even though regarding Kofer, Shmir Mu'ula would not be enough to exempt from the Kofer payment, as far as Demei Shor would be concerned, if Shmira Me'ula had been provided, the other Shomrim would have been exempt. Tonachru, my Avilula Meva, they watched it with a high level of watching. What could they have done? So the source in revealing the exemption of Demei Shor only by the Shomer Chinam shows us that the source was dealing with Shmira Pchusa alone that was provided. So the standards regarding the kofar payment are different than the standards regarding the Demei Shor. And as we pointed out earlier, the kofar is a payment made to the victim's family. In the case where a person is killed, the Demei Shor, the value of the animal, is what is returned to the owner of the animal. Let us now turn back to the Gemara. Abaye Omar. Abaye has another approach to who the owner, who the author of that source was, the source on Omid Aleph. Le'olam k'Rebbe Meir. The source is in accordance with Rebbe Meir. Our question before was, if that's so, then why does the source say Chutz Mishomer Chinam regarding the Demei Shor? It should have said Chutz Mishomer Chinam V'Socher, because according to Rabbi Meir, the thinking was that the Socher is like a Shomer Chinam. So Abaye says, that assumption is not final. U'kidemachlif rabo baravua v'toni. As far as authorship on the matter of Socher and how he is classified, Rabbo has a reversed opinion or reversed version of that issue, where Rebbe Meir considers the Socher, the renter, like a Shomer Socher. So the Shomer Chinom stands alone. As it says here, Socher Ketzed Mishalim, how does a renter, how does he pay when something happens to the item he rented? Rabbi Meir Omer, Kishomer Socher, he has the same standard as a Shomer Socher who is obligated to compensate for loss or theft, like a Shomer Socher, like a paid watchman. Therefore, the source said, with the source on Omid Aleph, which is according to Abai, authored by Rabbi Meir, only Shomer Chinam is exempt. Why not also the Socher? Because the Socher is not exempt. He is like a Shomer Socher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishomer Chinam. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that a Socher is like a Shomer Chinam. Therefore, the source that featured the Shomer Chinam alone would be authored by Rabbi Meir according to Rabbo Bar Avua's version. As you can see, we have a slash mark, which indicates that we have a new trend of thought. Omer Rabbi Lazar, Mosa Shoru L'Shomer Chinam. A man gave his animal to a watchman who will watch gratis. Hizik chayav, huzak potter. If the animal causes damage, the shomer, the watchman, is obligated to compensate. If the animal itself is damaged by another animal, the shomer chinom is exempt. Amri hechidomi. We ask, what are the circumstances behind this arrangement? E de kabil ole shmiras nizokov. If the owner accepted upon himself watching concerning damage, we have to say this in a general form so as to allow room for the Gemara to operate. So if the shomer accepted upon himself shmiras nizokov, guarding concerning matters of damage. When we speak about damage, that's a realm besides theft, where the animal is stolen, or the animal gets lost. So if the shomer accepted upon himself shmiras nizokov, afilu huzak nami l'chayev, then even if the animal is itself the victim of damage, the shomer should be obligated to compensate. Ve'i delo kobil olav shmiras nizokov, and if the watchman did not accept upon himself that realm, the realm of damage, afilu hizik nami liftar, even if it causes damage to others, the shomer should be exempt. Omar Rava, the olam shekibel olav shmiras nizokov. This guard, this watchman, did accept responsibility regarding damage. And here, what are we talking about? The watchman, in taking it, knew that this animal is a goring type animal. Ustama demilsa, and the assumed, normal case. When a person accepts himself the responsibility of watching a goring type ox, what does he accept upon himself when there's no further qualification? That's what stama de milsa, the unqualified, the unspecified general arrangement. What does that indicate? What does that entail? Delo ozil ihu umazik achrini kobilole. I'm watching it that it shouldn't go and damage others. It shouldn't gore others. I know its personality, and I accept upon myself that it's a goring ox. I'm watching it that it should not gore others. However, the osi achrini umazki leiladide, that some other animal would come and damage this, we'll call, brutish type animal, that doesn't occur to him. An animal that has this goring personality, the shomer, the guard, doesn't consider the possibility that some other animal isn't going to be afraid and start up with it. Therefore, Rebbe Lozer expressed himself by saying that a person who accepts watching a goring type animal, if it gores others, the shomer is obligated to make restitution. If others gore it, well, he never accepted upon himself such a responsibility. The Mishnah. In this Mishnah, there are triangles. We've already made reference to the contents of this Mishnah. On the side, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. There are four Shitas Tanoim, Beze Shmir Tzrichim Letam Lemuad. In the Mishnah itself, you'll see three, but if you skim down the page into the wide lines, we always recommend that when you see in Gemara markings a numbering scheme, allow your finger or your eyes to keep skimming down that same side of the page to see the additional numbers up to what number do you get? So in this case, we already indicate in our introduction there are four shitas. What shmira do you need for a tam and for a muad? There's another marking that will appear shortly, but in the Gemara. Let's first learn the Mishnah. Kosher ba'alav b'moserah. The animal was tied up with a rope around it. V'no'al b'fonav koroi. Or it was closed behind a proper door. A door that can stand up in a normal wind. V'yotza v'hizik. And nevertheless, the animal got out and damaged. Echot tam v'echot muad. Whether it be a tam or a muad, chayov, divrei, Rebbe Meir. As far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, that level of watching is, the shmira p'chusa level is not enough, even for a shor tam. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, tam chayov, a muad potter. Rebbe Yehuda says for a tam, the low level is not enough, and for the muad, it is enough. Now, we said before, that's paradoxical, but there is a Gezeris HaKosov that is the basis for his ruling. We're not offering a logical explanation, simply indicating there's a pasuk shenemar. There's a pasuk that says by the muad, velo yishmerenu balov. The owner did not watch it, and our understanding right now is. The Gemara will explain this in greater detail, but for right now it means the owner didn't watch it by the muad. Ah, v'shomer huzeh, but by having tied it up or closing it behind the door, he did provide a level of guarding. So he is acting within the realm of the Torah expectation. When is there obligation? When it's v'lo yishmerenu balav, when the owner doesn't provide any guarding, but he did. Therefore, the muad that does damage after shmira p'chusa, the owner will be exempt. Rabbi Lozer Omer ein lo shmira elasakin. A muad does not have shmira other than the knife. The Rashi says on this, on Elo Sakin, Vafilu Shamro Shmir Meula, Vehipila Kaisel, Vyotza, even if a high level of guarding was provided and it knocked down a wall, Vyotza, and it went and escaped that way, Chayov, the owner, must make restitution. Vesholosh Machloikas Badovar, there are three opinions in this Mishnah. Number one, the Rabbi Meir, Vishmir Plusa, Chayov, Uvamula Potter. The Shmir Plusa for a Muad is not enough, but Me'ula, high-level Shmir, is enough. L'Rabbi Yehuda, B'Plusa Nami Potter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Shmir Plusa is enough for a Muad. And Rabbi Lozer, B'Me'ula Nami Chayev. And according to Rabbi Lozer, a Shmira Me'ula is not enough, even Shmir Me'ula is not enough. Whereas, according to Rabbi Meir, Shmura Meula would have been enough. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, certainly it's enough. Even Shmura Pus is enough. According to Rabbi Lozer, Meula is not enough. As we turn to the Gemara, we have a new marking, a house marking appears. And on the side, in the margin, you can see the house featured. And it's my taima, is the expression highlighted. Hesberim Lishitas Hatanoyim. We're going to offer explanations for the different Tanoim. So if you skim down the page, you see my time with Rabbi Meir, where the Gemara will be asking, why is Shmir Plusa not sufficient? Later, in the last narrow line, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, the Gemara will deal with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Now, you probably are waiting for a house highlighting Rabbi Lozer in the Mishnah. That you are not going to see at this point, but a fourth opinion is presented in the wide lines, Rabbi Lozer ben Yankov, that's highlighted with a triangle, and following that you have our third house, which addresses what is the reasoning for Rabbi Elazar ben Yankev? Are you still wondering about Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah? Well, if you are, you'll be relieved when you get to Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, third line from the top. There we have our fourth house marking, my time of the Rabbi Elazar. So our markings attempt, as always, to create a certain sense of order to a text that itself is not written in, we'll say, doesn't follow a very, we'll say, very specific, orderly fashion that you might have otherwise anticipated. Now the Gemara. My taima de Rebbe Meir. What is the basis of Rebbe Meir who says that Shmira Pchusa is not enough? Answer. Kosovar stam shvorim lav b'chezgas shimor kaimi. Rashi explains that phrase means that people do not watch their animals at all. That's the way of people. They don't watch their animals and they leave them roam free. We'll look at Rashi together. Lav b'cheskas shimor kaimi ein odom mishamer shoro klal. People don't watch their oxen. Ela manicho vayotze. They leave them and go away. Or they leave them and vayotze and the animal goes out. That's, we'll say, if you call it general negligence, so be it. The Omar Rachmona. And the Torah says, Tam Nechayev. That if a short tam does damage, the owner has to pay. You're required to provide a minimum level of watching. Hoda Omar Rachmona velo yishmirenu gabim wad. Then the Torah adds the expression, and he didn't watch it in the context of a shor muad. In the Torah section that deals with a shor muad, velo yishmirenu appears. Neboyele shmirmula. So there's another level of shmira that's necessary. By the short tam, the fact that you have to make restitution for damage shows that you should have provided some level of watching. You didn't, so you got to pay. By the shor hamuad, the Torah says explicitly, and he didn't watch it. Means you should have watched it even more. That's shmira meula. The yolif negicha letam negicha lemuad. And there, through a gzera shava, the word negicha, nogach, or yigach appears in the both kinds of oxen, the tam and the muad. And we learn from this that just like the muad needs shmira meula, so too the tam needs shmira meula. That is Rebbe Meir, who equated tam with muad, both requiring shmira meula, high level shmira, and if it's not provided, the compensation must be made for resulting damages. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah held that only a tam needs shmira meula. How did he come to that? Stam shvorim bechezgas shimor kaimi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no such thing as a person that doesn't watch his animal at least a minimum amount of watching. That's an assumption. People will provide on their own a minimum level of watching. And yet, the Torah says, if the animal damages, you've got to pay. That statement of the Torah that you've got to pay indicates that the assumed minimum level is not enough, that you need shmira meula. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's continue with the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda said that stam shvorim b'cheska shimur kaimi, omar rachmona tam neshalem. And yet, even though you're providing shmira, you're providing a minimum level of shmira, it damages, Torah says, the short time has to pay. Then the boy lay shmira meula. what the Torah is trying to communicate to us is that you've got to provide even more shmira than just your the stam shvar mecheska shimur is not enough. The Torah, if you want exemption from payment, you've got to provide shmir mula. Holdam rachmana v'lo yishmerenu gabi muad. The Torah then writes out explicitly by the shor hamuad, and he didn't watch it. Dinavid leishmir mula. Again, it repeats that you need by the muad a shmir mula. But you already needed a shmir mula, didn't you, for the short time? Why does the Torah write again shmir mula? Have a riboy acha riboy. We have literally an inclusive expression. Inclusive meaning inclusive of all levels of watching. Following that which we already said that you need shmir mula. So you have this double inclusionary construction, and from a biblical exegesis standpoint, we say as follows: Vein ribui acha ribui ala lamait. When you have a double inclusionary expression, it actually does the opposite. It excludes. It reduces. Mi eight akos of the shmira meula. The Torah reduces the level from Shmir Mula to Shmir Pchusa, Dafka by the shore, Muad. So what do we have? We have, by virtue of this Gezeres HaKosuv, that the Shartam, the Dasan, is the high level of Shmira. The Riboy Acha Riboy that you find by the Shor HaMuad reduces it to the Shmir Pchusa level, to the lower level. The Chitema, you might say, well, now that I know that the Shor HaMuad has the lower level of Shmira, what about the Gzera Shava Negicha L'Tam Negicha L'Muad? Let's say now that just like the Shor Muad, Shmira Pchus is enough, the Shor Tam also Shmira Pchus is enough. That you can't say. Ha Mie Rachmona V'lo Yishmerenu. And you didn't watch it. The suffix nunvav, you didn't watch it. The nunvav means it. It's a specification. It's a itemization. You're specifying something. Lozeh v'lo la'acher. The muad alone is the one that was reduced to the shmir p'husa, not the other one, not the shor tam. The Gemara asks, but the expression v'lo yishmerenu is needed for something else. Rashi says, across from here, Rashi says v'ha lo yishmerenu miboy le'lav klomar l'gufei, it's to tell me the halacha itself, the im lo shomro shmira me'ulap, that if you didn't provide the high level shmira l'chayev, there is obligation, v'darshina be ribui acha ribui. And we used that as the second inclusionary expression, umi'uta detam minole. The v'lo yishmerenu already served its purpose of reducing the shomer, the shor hamuad, to shmira p'husa. So it's been used up already. Where do I know that the tam is excluded from shmira p'husa? Where do I know that from? In Cain, if otherwise, meaning if the shor ha-muad was not alone, if the tam also p'husa would have been enough, Niftev Rachman v'lo yishmor. If the purpose of the pasuk was only for the ribui acha ribui to cause the muad to drop down to shmira p'husa and not to exclude the shor tam, It would have been enough for the Torah to write v'lo yishmor, and he didn't watch the muad. My lo yishmerenu. Why the suffix, that these additional letters at the end serve to teach me lozev lo liacher, that the muad alone was reduced to the shmir p'chusa level and not the shor tam. So as far as Reb Yehuda's shita, it sounds a little bit complicated, but as far as Reb Yehuda's shita is concerned, he starts off with an assumption that people watch their animals. The Torah says by a short time, if it damages, you've got to pay. That indicates that your standard watching is not enough. You'll have to pay if damage happens. You have to provide shmir mula. Then it repeats the need for shmir mula by the shor hamuad. Well, that's called ribui acharibui. That entitles me to reduce the shor hamuad to shmira p'chusa. What about the gzera shava? So we said the gzera shava, thinking that the shor tam can also be reduced. No, because the pasuk says v'lo yishmirenu, that only the shor hamuad is reduced to the shmira p'chusa, not the shor tam. Tanya. Now we introduce a fourth opinion. Reb Elozer ben Yankov Omer, Echad Tam v'Echad Muad, Sheshomru Shmira P'chusa Poter. Whether it's a Tam or even a Muad, if you provided Shmira P'chusa, you are exempt from paying. You've done everything the Torah expected you to do. My Taima. What's the basis of Reb Elozer ben Yankov? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Shmira Pusa for a Muad is enough. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov goes one step further, whereas before we rejected this suggestion, he accepts it. V'yolif negicha latam negicha lamuad. Just like by the Shor HaMuad, we reduced it to Shmira Pusa, by virtue of the Gzera Shava, we can reduce the Tam also to Shmira Pusa. You don't see how he deals with the Nun Vav, the Lo Yishmerenu, but for our purposes, he doesn't regard that as, let's say, as an exclusion of the Shor Tam from Shmira Pusa. By the way, structurally, you can appreciate why Reb Elozer ben Yaakov appears over here. We had just explained and elaborated on Shitas Reb Yehuda. Reb Elozer ben Yaakov follows from Reb Yehuda in a manner of speaking, in as the Gemara itself says, similar to Reb Yehuda. So it's very convenient to see Reb Elozer ben Yaakov right on the heels of Rebbe Yehuda. Now we go on with teaching a halacha of Rav Ada Bar Ava, who focuses in on Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, that mentioned that Shmira Pusa is enough for a Shor Hamuad. Omar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Lo Pota Rav Yehuda Elo Tzad Ha'ado'o Sheboi. Imagine a Shor HaMuad does damage after having been under a guard Shmir P'chusa level, the minimum amount of watching. We say that Shor HaMuad that damages ordinarily, if no watching was provided, it has to pay full damage. If a minimum level of watching is provided, so that is enough for a Shor HaMuad. What Rav Ada says, that's enough for the Shor HaMuad aspect, which caused the owner to go from half damages, in the case of a Shor Tam, to full damages with a Shor HaMuad. Now you provided Shmir Pusa. That's sufficient for the Muad aspect of the payment. The Gemara goes on, Aval Tzad Tamus B'Mekoy Memedis. The Tam aspect of this animal, the first half of the damages that a short Tam would have had to make, and a short Tam, Shmir Pusa is in fact not enough. What has to be paid then? In the case of a shor hamu'ad that does damage after having received shmira p'chusa, you know what? You've got to pay half damages. You've got to pay as if it's a short tam. And this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitoso. When Rabbi Ada Barava says, lo pata Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Ada Barava is an Amora explaining the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, and we've seen this elsewhere, that the when a shor becomes a shor amuad, the tam identity is still present. It doesn't metamorphosize into an entirely new entity. It simply goes from, it was a shor tam, it retains its tam identity, which says the owner has to pay half damages, but now that it's become a muad, another half damage has to be added. You have to pay full damages. However, if you provided Shmira Pulsa, so as far as the Muad aspect, you've done all you have to do. As far as the Tam aspect, the Tam identity, which is still present, you didn't provide enough watching. You provide only Shmira Pulsa, so you have to pay half damages. We continue in the Gemara, but before we do so, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Dinoi shel Rav, Tzad Tamus, Umuedes, Ba'oisoi Shor. Rav will observe that in one animal, you can have Tzad Tamus and Muedes. Muad lekeren yamin v'eino muad lekeren smol. An animal that's shown its proclivity for damaging with its right horn, but not with its left horn. The Gemara. Omar Rav, muad lekeren yamin eino muad lekeren smol. An animal that is muad for damaging with its right horn, and it will have to pay full damages, is not muad lekeren smol. Amri aliba deman. According to whom does Rav say this? Now Rashi adds, and let's learn the Rashi together. Aliba deman. Klomar. As we've pointed out oftentimes, when you see klomar, it means that the simple translation of the Gemara is not enough. That's not what the Gemara's intent is. So when the Gemara here asks, according to whom, klomar ha vadai leinyan tashlumin lo itzurich leilav lashminin, as far as the payment scale is concerned, the leimin nezek shalom small shalohud lo mishalim chatzi nezek, that for the goring with its right horn, where we know it's muad, it pays full damages. Goring with its left horn, where it has not done so three times, it will pay only half damages. That I don't need Rav for. Rav isn't coming to tell me that. Talki Igavna Tuvatnan, similar cases like this, cases similar to this, many of them have been taught in Mishnayos. Imagine an animal that's been shown to be a muad in killing people injuring people is not considered muad regarding injuring animals. The kosher came muad lekeren yamin shutzad chazaka sheboy eino muad lesmoil. If an animal has been shown to gore with its right side, right horn, that's the strong side of the animal. That doesn't indicate that its left horn is also muad. Ela vaday Rav linyan shmira ashmin. And Rav's purpose is to tell me laws regarding guarding level. Linyan shmira ashmin. And v'hi aliba d'Rabbi Meir. And if Rav is teaching me according to Rabbi Meir, ha tamu muad linyan shmira kiado dininu. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, there's no difference between tam and muad. Rav, however, is saying a halacha where there is a distinction. And just to repeat, Rav is obviously not coming to tell me payment scale. So Rav must be telling me about watching levels. According to the Tana Rebbe Meir, there is no distinction in watching levels between Tam and Muad. And yet Rav is making a distinction between Tam and Muad. So Rav is in accordance with whom? So now let's turn back to the Gemara. Amri Aliba Daman, Rav, who is telling me a law regarding Shmira levels, and Rav is making a distinction between Tam and Muad, according to whom is he speaking? E Aliba de Rabbi Meir Ha'omar. If you think he's telling me something according to Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Meir himself, we saw in the Mishnah, said, Echot Tam v'Echot Muad Shmir Mula Boy. Whether it's a Tam or a Muad, you need to provide the same high level of watching. E Aliba de Rabbi Huda. And if Rav is telling me a law regarding, in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Huda, Rashi says on the third wide line, Elo Aliba de Rabbi Huda, Vashmin and Rav, Dim Shomro Shmir Pchusa, Vyotza Vihizik, Bekeren Yamin, Shehuad La Potter, Demuad B'Shmir Pchusa Sakile, that if it went out and gored with its right horn, after you provided Shmira Pchusa, you are exempt from paying the full damage, because Shmira Pchusa is enough. V'Nogach B'Smol Chayav the Tam Lo'imit L'Shmira Pchusa. And if it gored with its left horn, you have to make restitution because Shmir Pchusa is not enough. So now let's go back to the Gemara. E Aliba de Rabbi Huda, Ma'ira Karen Smol. If Rav is in accordance with the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, why introduce the left horn? Why does Rav make reference to the left horn? Afilu B'Yamin Nami Is Bay Tzad Tamus Vis Bay Tzad Muades. Looking at the right horn, and what? You provided Shmira Pchusa. Within the right horn, you have the double aspect of Tam and Muad. As we saw before, under Rav Ado Bar Ahava, did he not say that if you provided Shmira Pchusa and the Muad did damage, it's true you don't pay the full damage, but you still pay half because of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda's position, Tzad Tamus B'Mekoy Moimedes. So that why would Rav have to introduce, if Rav's point is to tell me laws regarding Shmira levels and make a distinction between Tam and Muad, why introduce the left horn? Just describe the damage done with the right horn, and Shmira Pchusa enables the owner to be exempt from half of the payments, even though it's in Muad, but you provided enough watching, so the Muad aspect you are exempt for, but the Tam aspect, because of the concept of Tzad Tamus B'Mekoy Moimedes, the Tam identity remains that you didn't cover with your Shmira Pchusa. We look at Rashi, Ma'ira Karen Smol, Di'i Nogach Bo Chayav Chatzi Nezek. Why does Rav speak about the Karen Smol, that it's not Muad for? And if it damages with that, you have to pay half damage. Ki nogach b'yamin nami kotzad tamus umuedes l'chetzio potur l'chetzio chayav. Within the right horn, you have both aspects. Dohot tzad tamus b'mekoy moimedes. The tam identity remains. And you did not provide enough watching to cover the tam level. Vishtakach the ocho nami chatzi nezek mishalem. Within the right horn itself, you're going to be paying half damages. Umay nafka lon midrav. What are we to learn from Rav that I wouldn't have already known being familiar with Shitas Rebbe Yehuda? Let's continue in the Gemara. Amri li'olam k'Rebbe Yehuda. The Amora Rav is reflecting the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. That Muad Shmira Pchus is enough. V'lo svira le de Rav Ado bar Ava. Rav does not accept Rav Ado bar Ava's analysis. Rather, a Muad that received Shmira Pchusa is entirely exempt. V'hachi ka'omar. And Rav is saying thusly. Ki hai gavna. It's only in this way, where you have an animal that's muad lim yamin and not muad l'keren smoil, then you demishkachas beitzad tamus umuedes. Only in this way will you have in one animal a tam identity and a muad identity. We continue at the top of daf mem vav. Aval muad legamri, but an animal that is entirely muad, lo mishkachas be tzad tamus klau. You will not have any tam identity left as far as paying chatzi nezek. Once you have an animal that is entirely muad, namely both horns, it is muad for goring with. And you provided shmira p'chusa, and damage happened, you will be exempt. Entirely exempt. Rav does not agree with Rav Ado, as we said. If you want to describe one animal that can at times pay chatzi nezek and at times be exempt, that can exist only if you have the animal one side it's muad and you provided shmira pusa, and the other side it's tam. So for the muad side you're exempt, and for the tam side after providing shmira pusa you will still have to pay chatzi nezek. A quote from our Mishnah, Reb Lozer Omer, Ein lo shmir ela sakin, a muad does not have any watching that is sufficient. The only sufficient thing, only thing you can do with a shor muad is slaughter it. Omar Rabo, my taimo de Reb Lozer. Now the volcano shape that you see here highlights shnei. We have featured this on the side of the Gemara. There and under our Mivne heading, Shnei Ta'amim Lahazbir Shitas Reb Elazar. Two explanations for this Tana that said Ein Lo Shmir Lo V'Sakin. So Omar Rabba, we go back to our Gemara. My time at Reb Elazar, the Omar Kra V'Lo Yishmerenu. The pasuk that said Lo Yishmerenu in the case of the Shor Hamuad means Shuv Ein Lo Shmira Lazeh. This animal has no Shmira. V'Lo means there is no Yishmerenu, there's no shmira for it. Omar le Abaye ela me'ata d'chtiv, that which it says by bor. You know, ela me'ata means if now we're going to accept your approach that v'lo yishmerenu means there is no more watching for it. So it says by bor, by a pit, d'chtiv v'lo yichasenu, nami shuv ein lo kisui lozeh, that after someone dug a pit, that's it. There's no covering is going to help. And if you say that's right, the covering is not going to help anymore. But the Mishnah says that if a bore, a pit was covered properly, and somehow an ox or a donkey fell in and died, the owner of the pit is exempt. So covering a pit is sufficient. So just like v'lo yichasenu doesn't mean it has no further covering, v'lo yishmerenu doesn't mean it has no further watching. So what's the reason for Reb Elazar? Elomar Abaye, Hainu Taime, the Reb Elazar. The following is the reasoning behind Reb Elazar, Kidesanya, based on Rabbi Nosson's teaching in the following source. Rabbi Nosson Omer, and we'll read the source, but I think that the main point is really seen in Rashi that we'll read afterwards. Rabbi Nosson says, Minayin shaligadol on kelev ra b'soich beso. From where do we know that one should not raise a ferocious dog in his house? V'lau V'al yamin sulam ruah b'sof beso. Nor should one set up or have in his possession a weak, shaky ladder in his house. Shenamar, the posuk says, V'lo sosim domim b'veisecha. You shall not have, no, literally it means you shall not have anything that will cause blood flow in your house. Not a wicked dog, not a dangerous ladder. And along those lines, Abaye says, and we can see in the Rashi, second line from the top, so to hear with regard to our Shor HaMuad, Hai lo yishmerenu, that expression doesn't mean guarding. It means lo yikaimenuhu, do not maintain it at all. The word lishmor is also has to do with your keeping something. So lo yishmeru, don't keep it anymore. Slaughter it, get rid of it. That's the only thing that you can do with a shor hamuad, and not be any further obligated to offer restitution. As long as it's alive and damages, no matter what level of guarding you provide, that will not enable you to be free from needing to compensate for damages that it causes. As you can see, with the help of the one above, we have completed the fourth perek of Bava Kama, and in Mirtz Hashem, in our next year, with the help of the Almighty, we will continue with the fifth perek, Shor Shenogeh HaSapora. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.